You're listening to Rhema for Today.
And so I went to the Lord about it. And I had it all down on paper. The church, the last church I pastored, you see, paid me $1,200 more than my gross income. Plus furnished the pastors, plus furnished utilities, plus I think brought in at least half what we ate, plus sent us all to conventions we needed to go to. They paid the expenses. Plus always a buying something for you, a new suit for me, a new dress for my wife or something. But you see here, you've got $1,200 less and you've paid all your house rent and all your utilities out of that and all your traveling expenses out of that and all the conventions you need to attend out of that and haven't bought any clothes. That's the reason I bought them a few, you see. Haven't bought in there and worn out. And there you're out there afoot on the field.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching, The ABCs of Bible Faith, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
And he said, of course, his doctor friend wouldn't charge him. He said, oh, no, I'll do it. And he sent me all the record back, called me long distance, and said to him, you're doing the only thing that can be done for him. The medication you've got him on, the diet you've got him on, so on is the only thing. And he said, I'll tell you the truth about it. The heart specialist said he'll not live another 6 months. Well, he said, that's my diagnosis. I just wanted to be sure. Well, the doctor said to me, he said, ordinarily now, I don't make house calls. You know, doctors don't nowadays. Of course, this was several years ago. But he said, one day, in my office, the phone rang and his wife called and said, he's dying. Well, he said, I just simply said to my nurse, I'm going. I rushed out the back of the office, jumped in my car and went over there. And he said, Brother Hagin, this Baptist doctor said, I pronounced too many people dead. I could not detect a heartbeat about him. I could not detect a pulse. I would have pronounced him dead. I pronounced many people dead. But he said he's only 56 years old. I just laid my hand on his chest and said, Dear Lord, this is my brother, and he's your child. And he's just not old enough to die. He's only 56 years old, and he's not old enough to die. Now, Lord, just let his spirit come back. In the name of Jesus. And said he's lying there with his eyes set, looked like glass marbles, and his mouth open, said suddenly, and started breathing. And he said, I checked him over and couldn't find anything wrong with his heart. I sent him right back to the same heart specialist. I wanted to get a confirmation. I sent him that heart specialist, and he said that heart specialist phoned me when he began to examine. Said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. That fellow's got a brand new heart. Not a thing in the world wrong with it. Hallelujah. Well, thank God. Thank God for a doctor like that. Praise God. I mean, he get them coming and going. Either way. Like he said, if I have to diagnose your case and prescribe medicine, I'll have to charge you. Because that's the way I make my living. But if I pray for you and God heals you, it won't cost you anything. Well, go ahead and diagnose the case. Amen. Well, he learned the facts of God's word. I said he learned the facts of God's word. Thank God for the word of God. The same, the crippled man, the lame man, heard Paul speak. And he got faith from what he heard. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Now, what about faith for finances? Comes the same way. You see, the trouble with a lot of people is they try to pray about these different things without going to the word and find out what the word says about it. You remember John 15:7? Where Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. My words abide in you. But you know, I had faith for healing. We had faith for healing for our children. But we always struggle individually, financially. And every church I pastored, we struggle financially. Now, as I look back now, you see, I turned my face away in shame that I was so stupid. You know, and we'd finally make it through some way or another. I mean, just kick and claw and bawl and squall and fast and pray. And look like you're not going to make it. Just look like you're never going to make it. I mean, both individually, family-wise, and also church-wise. But we'd get through, you know. God, not because of it, but in spite of it, had mercy on us and helped us. mercy on our stupidity and ignorance. See? So I left the last church. I began to see some things before I left my church and began to change some. But I left my last church and went out on the field and was out there a solid year in field ministry. Left in February, you see, of 49, January of 1950 is the 12th month. And I wore my car out, sold it for junk, sold it to the junkyard. Got enough out of it to pay the interest up on notes I owed in several different places. Buy the kids a few clothes. And they were not adequately clothed. We were not adequate. The children were not adequately fed. We was living in a three-room apartment. And when I came in off the field, Ken had to sleep on a rollaway bed in the kitchen. And so I went to the Lord about it. I got a hold of that scripture that said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Well, I don't think living in a three-room apartment is eating the good of the land. Amen. Amen. And so I went to the Lord about it. And I had it all down on paper. The church, the last church I pastored, you see, paid me $1,200 more than my gross income. Plus furnished the parsonage. Plus furnished utilities. Plus, I think, brought in at least half of what we ate. Plus sent us all to conventions we needed to go to. They paid your expenses. Plus always buying something for you. A new suit for me. A new dress for my wife or something. But you see here, you've got $1,200 less, and you've paid all your house rent and all your utilities out of that and all your traveling expenses out of that and all the conventions you need to attend out of that and haven't bought any clothes. That's the reason I bought them a few, you see. Haven't bought any, they're worn out. And there you're out there afoot on the field. And I kept saying, Lord, you said right here in your word, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And I'm sure not eating the good of the land. My children are not adequately clothed. My children are not adequately fed. We're not adequately housed. And I began to pray and fast. Not a total fast, but eat maybe one meal a day. And about the third day while I was praying, the Lord spoke to me. And said, well, now you keep quoting that scripture to me. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. The reason you're not eating the good of the land is because you don't qualify. You know, that's the reason most folks are not, because they don't qualify. He said, you know, he said, how did he speak to you? Some thundering voice out from heaven like thunder? No. Some audible voice like somebody standing behind you talking? No, I have had him speak to me like that. That still small voice right down in here in my spirit, just like he talks to every Christian. We call it an inward voice sometimes. We call it an inner voice sometimes. We call it a still small voice sometimes. I started listening to it. He said, you see, that verse said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you talk, keep talking about you obeyed me. I did, you know, that you did what I said do, but you weren't willing to do it. Now, don't tell me it takes a long time. I know better. I got willing in 10 seconds. I mean, I just made a little adjustment right down in here on the inside of me. I mean, within 10 seconds. And I said, now I'm willing. I know I'm willing. You know I'm willing. And the devil knows I'm willing. Now I'm ready. I'm ready to eat the good of the land. Because you told me that's all I like, just being willing. I'm ready. I thought I'd just start eating the good of the land immediately. Just start falling on me like ripe cherries off of a tree. But you see, your faith's got something to do with it. And you can't believe beyond actual knowledge. He knew my thinking was wrong. Because I'd been brought up that way. Because see, I came up Southern Baptist. And then after I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke the other tongue, got the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists, came over among the Pentecostals. And I thought the Baptists were the worst in the world about it. But then I got among the Pentecostals and found out they had them beat. If they prayed for their pastor, they prayed, Lord, Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. Amen. And I came up on that kind of stuff, you see. And I thought, you know, I was taught it is a mark of holiness that you ought to live way down at the end of Barely Get Along Street, right next to Grumble Alley, and go through life with the sole of your shoes wore out, the seat of your britches wore out, and the top of your hat out, and drive an old car with the fenders a-flopping. And that was being holy and humble. And honoring God. Dear Lord, where'd we get that? Where in the world did we get that? And I'd heard the expression, and you know, we young preachers, you just pick up what others say. You be careful about what others say. It may not be right. And I'd heard others say, I don't want any of this old world's goods. So I picked that up. I don't want any of this old world's goods. And I didn't have any of this old world's goods either. As though there's something wrong with this old world's goods. Well, yeah, there is. No, there isn't. So the Lord said to me, go back to the book of beginnings. I knew he was talking about the book of Genesis. And it was Jesus talking to me. But you see, the Word of God tells us that God said, let us, plural, us. The Son was with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Let us, plural. God said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. The Word of God said in the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the first verse, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same is in the beginning with God, and so on. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, He said, I made the world and the fullness thereof. And you read in my Word where it says the world and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. It's not the devil, it's the Lord's. The cattle of 1,000 hills are the Lord's. And the silver and the gold is the Lord's. Well, he said, I made the world and the fullness. Now, this came as revelation to me. I never heard anybody preaching. This is January 1950. I made the world and the fullness thereof, the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the silver and the gold. And I put it all there. And then I made my man Adam. And I said, Adam, I give you dominion over all the work of my hands. He said to me, for whom do you think I made the cattle of 1,000 hills? For whom do you think I made the silver and the gold? For whom do you think I made the world and the fullness thereof? For the devil and his bunch, his crowd? No. For my man Adam. My man Adam. And I gave him dominion over it. But see, he committed high treason and sold out to the devil. And Adam was originally, and I never heard anybody say that till the Lord said it to me, Adam was originally the god of this world.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month we're offering Kenneth Hagin's CD entitled The Joshua Generation. We're also offering Craig Hagin's message, Put On All the Armor of God. Next is Lynette Hagin's teaching, What Should We Be Focusing On? And last is Denise Hagin Burns' message, Anchor Moments. All these items at the special price of $20. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
We're going to be in Texas in September, September the 8th through the 10th for a Living Faith Conference that is at the Word Fellowship Church, Pastors Trey and Erling Hill.
Tomorrow on Rhema for Today, we'll continue Kenneth E. Hagin's life-changing teaching. That's next time on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.